Fred Wright Show Bucket List Broadcast, live from the Salt Lake City Tabernacle on KSL News Radio.
What a thrill to be here. I really cannot tell you. We put together this bucket list of things that I'd like to do, and most of them we've been able to pull off. And this one was on, if not right at the top, it was one or two. And I said, wouldn't it be something if we were actually allowed to hopefully vicariously take our listeners into the tabernacle for something very non-traditional and really talk about this great building and hopefully bring it up close and personal. And by the way, we'll have images for you. We'll be streaming certain things on our KSL News Radio app. And boy, Any Hour Services, thank you. Thank you for sponsoring that and making that available on our Doug Wright Show Facebook page and also on our KSL News Radio Facebook page. We'll be bringing you some of the images of our broadcast today. It is a true honor for me on one of my very, very final regular broadcasts here on KSL to have someone who has just become a really dear friend, Heidi Swinton, to talk about some of the historical facts about this great building. Heidi, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the opportunity and taking this invitation to speak to our listeners today about this great, great tabernacle building.
Well, Doug, it's a delight to talk to you, first of all, on this closing out of your great career, and also to talk about the tabernacle, a building that is close to everybody's heart.
It truly is. As I mentioned when we first opened this, while we are surrounded by incredible buildings, sacred buildings, beautiful buildings, there is something about the tabernacle. I've felt it ever since I was a little boy, that there is something so welcoming. It's a multi-purpose building that has welcomed people from around the world and has hosted some of the most incredible things that have happened not only in Salt Lake City, not only in Utah, not only in the Intermountain West, but many times the world.
Well, and it's so unique. I don't think there's another building that looks a thing like it anywhere. You know, it's kind of a tribute to the resourcefulness of the pioneers. They built what they could build, and right next to it was that Salt Lake Temple going up. And so they were building both of them at the same time, very different in design and in purpose. The tabernacle has opened its multiple doors, which go all the way around the building, to so many people that people oftentimes are standing outside or sitting on the lawn to be a part of what's happening inside.
Isn't it incredible when you do open those doors and even the windows that this does almost become an open air arena? You're open except straight up. And I know one time we were in here and it got quite warm and they opened and the cross breezes that flow through here. It really is an architectural wonder.
It is. And it was such a masterpiece for its time. When you think that, you know, they didn't have cranes, and they didn't have anything but horses pulling, you know, long wagons behind them to do the excavating and to do everything else they had to do. It was a pioneer ingenuity to pull that building off, and yet they thought better than they knew. They built the windows and the doors, and they created a space that acoustically is like none other. It has remarkable acoustics that you've all heard about. But when you sit in that building, almost anywhere, you can just feel the sound wash over you. At the very back, you get the sound coming up and over, and in the middle, it comes straight at you. So it's a wonderful phenomenon that was put together, probably not knowing what they were doing, but knowing that what they were doing was gonna make a difference. They needed a place for all the people to gather, and they build a smaller tabernacle just to the side of where the tabernacle stands today that held a couple of thousand people and had a sloped floor and was nowhere near as grand. It was made out of adobe, and they used that for several years, and then in 1865 they started building the tabernacle. And when you imagine that they built this building starting in 1865 and finished it in 1864, sorry, and then made it habitable by 1867, didn't dedicate it till 1875 because they were still doing things to it, but they had a roof over their heads and they were able to use it for their general conference where Brigham Young conducted in 1867, and the people jammed in the doors, and there still wasn't enough room for everybody. And they thought they could seat 10,000. Now, I can't imagine how they get 10,000. They've been really small people. But, you know, over the years, they've added the choir loft. Originally, it wasn't in the structure that it is now. It's just kind of a flat area for the choir. The choir began singing when they first got to the Valley. They created a choir, and there's been one ever since. Initially, it was called the Salt Lake Tabernacle Choir, and then it became the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. And I love the statement that Stephen L. Richards made. He was a church official back in the 1950s, and he said he didn't know if the tabernacle had made the choir or the choir had made the tabernacle, but they were certainly united as one. And when you think of one, you obviously think of the other.
They are synonymous. They truly are, and especially outside of Utah and outside of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You mentioned the tabernacle in Salt Lake City, and the choir is just a natural extension of that. When I think, you mentioned the acoustics, and that has been, you know, just acclaimed from the very beginning. And when anybody takes a tour of this building, they always do the pin drop, and we'll do that too, I understand, a little later on. But I try to imagine, as again, I ran into Ron Fox when I walked into this building a little earlier, and he was rehearsing some of the history and some of the people that had been here, and so many people that he mentioned. It was long before amplification. It was long before anybody had a microphone in front of them. And whether it was Theodore Roosevelt or Susan B. Anthony or Sir Arthur Conan Doyle or John Philip Sousa, not just performing, but also, you know, turning and speaking to the audience. Can you imagine what a joy and what, honestly, a blessing that was to orators of the era to have these kinds of acoustics?
Well, and, you know, Ulysses S. Grant was the first of the notaries to come, and he was there right after they opened it in 1867. It has just been home to people from all over the country and all over the world. And the acoustics still today, you know, it's a sound stage, essentially. It's better than almost anything you can come up with for recording. The Tabernacle Choir makes all of their recordings there in the Tabernacle. And they put quilts and blankets on all of the seating so that the sound won't get muffled into the oak benches. They're oak benches today. They used to be pine benches that were painted to look like oak. But with the renovation that was done in 2005, they put in real oak benches. But they put down the quilts, and then they use it as a sound studio for all of their recordings. And it's remarkable what we get today as a, you know, that kind of clarity of sound. But it was what was originally put in place. Somebody could stand at the podium and speak, and the people at the back could hear them, and that was thousands and thousands of people back. Pretty remarkable.
Absolutely remarkable. We have just maybe a minute left. Heidi, what for you is special about this building? What just puts you in awe? And boy, I have a long list, but I have some things on my short list as well. But for you, who has really looked into the building and the history of the building, what really sets you back?
I find it remarkable that a people who were living in their wagons and just barely able to construct homes, and this wasn't a completed community, and they built this enormous building that when travelers came through, they described it as immense and extraordinary, huge. They just were taken back by the size of it, and today it still has that presence. You walk in the tabernacle today, I love to sit right in the middle and listen to the choir sing and have that sound just come over me. You know, you hear Come, Come, Ye Saints, which is a pioneer hymn, sung in that building, and you can just picture the determination and the grit of those people drawing the wood from southern Utah to put into the rafters and into the building itself, and getting the stone out of the mountains and the quarries, and putting together something that was a community building. This was a building that invited everyone, and it's still the same today. It's not just a community, it's a worldwide building, because the Tabernacle Choir does music in the spoken word from the Salt Lake Tabernacle every week. Yeah. And so we invite people into our home, and they're well taken care of.
Absolutely. It is truly a welcoming place. And Heidi, thank you so much. And give my best to your family. Say hi to Jeff for me, won't you?
I'll do it. We love you. Thanks.
Thank you. Author Heidi Swinton with us here at KSL News Radio. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, Richard Elliott, principal organist for the Tabernacle Choir, they're going to put the organ through its paces and tell us a little bit about this incredible instrument that a week or so ago we had the chance to literally walk through, almost kind of crawl through the workings of that massive, massive organ. We'll be talking about that. We'll be hearing the organ coming up here on The Doug Wright Show at KSL News Radio.